So those
who followed Jesus, who sought to be his disciples, found something in him that fascinated them, that lured them, that attracted them. That something was that they had a sense that he was deeply connected to God. And so one day when they see him praying, it creates a great thirst within them.
Because whatever his disciples saw in Jesus when they beheld him praying made them want what he had.
So they asked very touchingly, "Lord, teach us to pray. We want what you have." And blessed be God that they made that request. Because today we have Jesus' teaching on how to pray. In other words, how to live a life that is connected to God. You see, it's important for us to understand that Jesus did not give us a formula for mechanical repetition, but he gave us a way of life by which we can be connected to God. A way of life characterized by relationship to God. You see, if any two people have
a relationship, it requires that both of them have already a sense of their own self and that they acknowledge who the other person is. And much of Jesus' teaching on how to pray is about that acknowledgement, understanding who God is and who we are. Unfortunately, the notion that many people have about prayer is that prayer means making a request to God to do something for me. And if God does not do what I want God to do, then I can have to get angry with God or
abandon God
or lose faith in God. Such a notion of prayer is badly in need of Jesus' teaching on what prayer is, because such a notion of prayer has no acknowledgement of
the relationship,
who God is and who we are. Simply put, God is God, and we are
not.
God does not owe me anything. I am not entitled to anything from God. But God is entitled to much from me because I am a creature. And that is why Jesus, when he teaches us to pray, the first thing he says we must do is confess the holiness of God's name. He says, say, hallowed be your name. God's name is God's identity. So when we say, hallowed be your name, we are saying, you are God. And so he tells us to confess the holiness of God's name with humility and reverence. And to confess that we have offended God by our sins. We have offended the all-holy God, we who are not holy, by our sins. And we need to ask his forgiveness. So Jesus tells us to say, forgive us our sins. And then Jesus wants us to acknowledge that God is king. God is king. You know what that means? That means I am not king for whom God has to fulfill my requests or my demands. But God is king. And God has a kingdom which we must serve. And by our way of life, cooperate in its realization. And that's why Jesus tells us that when we pray, we need to express that we are going to be part of that kingdom by being people of peace and reconciliation. We who have the audacity to ask the all-holy God to forgive us our sins, that we also must forgive others their comparatively petty offenses against us. And so that is one of the ways that our prayer, "Your kingdom come,"
is true.
And that we also forgive others. And that we are men and women of peace and reconciliation. And then Jesus tells us that we have to daily come before God in prayer. Daily come before God to receive what we need to subsist. And so he says, we must say, "Give us each day our daily bread." And we're seeking there not just our material necessities, but that is a prayer to God out of a hunger for God, to ask God to give us himself, because without God, life is death. That is why Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life. That is why Jesus tells us at the end of this instruction on prayer that the greatest gift that God can give us is the Holy Spirit. Because no matter what disaster may befall us in our life, if we have God, if we have the bread of life, if we have the Holy Spirit, it will be okay. But we will starve to death if God is not our daily bread. And that brings us to the best part of all. Jesus tells us that we must relate to this all-holy God as Father. That is what he tells us we must call him. And so we can trust God. We, who as parents, with all of our sins, with our imperfections in knowing how to love, we want the best for our children. We want to express our love for them. How much more does our divine Father, who sent his Son to die for us, as St. Paul says, to cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. And so we can trust the goodness of our loving Father, no matter what our limited human vision perceives. And so fundamentally, Jesus, in his teaching to us on how to pray, teaches us how to live with humility and reverence in the presence of the all-holy, transcendent God, a God who is our loving and good Father. Amen.